I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Steph, I know you're super excited. And you cannot wait to have this conversation.
You just kept trying to go over like the pre-recording stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wrap it up. I think she's got it. I think she got this, Kevin.
Well, friends, our next guest is an author, podcaster, motivational speaker, and one of only four women to ever win three Olympic gold medals in softball. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Mrs. Leah Amico.
Ooh, Leah!
Thank you.
Leah.
I'm excited to be here with both of you.
I might be more excited. I might be.
Well, thank you for saying yes to us. And one thing, Leah, that you emailed me about was you just did 13 softball games in 5 days, I believe on the radio. I know you have a passion for softball, but is there ever a time, Leah, where you're like, okay, I've had enough softball. I'm sick of this. Like, I need a break.
Uh-huh.
No, you know what's so funny? I actually was with ESPN Plus. So I was doing the ASUN conference championship. So for TV, I guess online is what that was. And I will be doing radio coming up for the Women's College World Series starting next week here in May. I know that this will air later, but I'm involved in so many different ways. I think if I'd only done one thing for so long, yeah, maybe I'd get over it. But I do a little bit of coaching. I'm traveling the world coaching Team Israel this summer in different parts of Europe. And then I get to speak and share my softball story. So I think the fact that it's versatile and flexible and it's always different, that's what keeps me motivated by it.
Okay, I had no idea you were the coach for Israel. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's kind of a God thing, but in 2020, right in the very beginning, right before the pandemic hit, I took a trip to Israel with one of my Olympic teammates, Dot Richardson. She's the head coach at Liberty University, and a couple friends, and then a group of 30 something people from around the US, a couple from Canada. And it was just a Bible tour going over Israel and learning. Well, the head guy who ran the tour, his son is a men's fast pitch player, and he knows the game, and he's connected to and works with the Israel program. So actually, it's the junior national team. So I have coached two summers. One was the under 22 team last summer in Czech Republic, and the year before it was Prague, and I coached the under 18 junior national team. So this summer, heading back to Prague, heading to Canada for a tournament, and then I'll be taking the 12 and under Israel team to Italy. So,
oh my gosh,
it's so crazy how it happened.
Okay, but when you're practicing, do you ever get in the cage and take some BP or get out there and show them how to pitch or throw? Do you still get involved, Leah?
Not like full mode. Honestly, I'd probably embarrass myself, but I do it in slow motion. Yes. Of what I'm trying to actually explain to them. So I'm older, you know, it's been a long time. I've been retired a long time now, 04, almost 20 years. I'm not young anymore, but I can still talk it.
So like I mentioned in the introduction, you're one of only four women to ever win three Olympic gold medals in softball. Where do you keep your gold medals? Do you wear them around? Because if it were me, Leah, I'd be wearing them to the grocery store, to church, to our kids' t-ball games, right? Like, where do you keep those?
No, I always take them with me when I go places, of course. That's why people want me. They don't want me. They want the medals. I actually have them right here.
Do you?
Pull them out. I keep them in a very safe, secure location, but I pull them out when I need them. And so here's my gold medals. When I travel again, I take them. I let people wear them. I get to
really
feel how heavy they are, take pictures with them. But I do. I actually keep them in a safe because I know that if they get stolen, I don't know if they'll be as likely to replace mine as maybe a big name Olympian out there. So I have to keep them safe.
Steph, good luck getting that through TSA.
Yes.
At the airport. Do you just like wear them around your neck and walk through? What do you do?
So I always pull them out. I have a little gold bag that I travel with, and I actually pull out my little bag and I put it in its own container. And it's hilarious because sometimes they don't even look. And I'm like, oh, that person's not doing their job. Other times they're like, we just have to check this real quick. Oh, these are yours? Okay. Other times they're like, whoa, these are so cool. Are they real? Like real Olympics? And so it's very funny to see if people like sports or not.
Do you have one that means more to you than the others?
You know, they're all so different, but I would say my second one in Sydney, Australia, my first one was Atlanta, first Olympics ever for softball. So that was massive. I was a young college student. My second one was Sydney, Australia. And then my last one was Athens, Greece. So it's a tough one between Athens and Sydney, but I'd say Sydney is probably the one I appreciate the most because we actually lost 3 games and almost didn't even compete for a medal, let alone win a gold medal. So we were able to work our way back, get to the medal round. And then actually from there, we were able to bring home the gold. And so that one is the most scratched up. It's actually 28 karat gold on the outside of silver. They're not solid gold. They're silver plated, or they're silver underneath gold plated. And so that one's like, it's actually been dented. A kid dropped it one time.
Oh my gosh.
And so with that being said, it's kind of the most like scratched up, but I'm like, yeah, but it was the hardest to get. That's what it was scratched up in battle and fight to get this one. So it all makes sense. So probably my Sydney one.
Steph, you would lose your mind. If you were,
I'm making this up. Well,
TSA, but if you're at like an elementary school and you're showing this gold medal to a kid and he drops on the floor, you would lose your daggone mind.
I'm like, oh, do you know what it took to get that? Be gentle.
Okay, wait.
Go ahead.
I have a funny story really quick. I was sharing with my son. I homeschooled for 13 years, but my kids did do like a 3-day-a-week program. When my youngest was in kindergarten, my next one was in first grade and my other was in fifth. And this little girl, while I'm sharing with the kindergarten class, is sitting there watching, listening to me, picking her nose the whole time. And that day I said, all right, we're just going to look at the medals. Nobody's touching them today.
That would be me.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be me.
That's very smart. Okay, so speaking of your boys, you've got 3 boys. Looking at your social media, I didn't see anywhere where your boys play baseball. Is that true?
Yeah.
Do you blame your husband for this? Because I'm sure this hurts your heart, Leah.
So when they were little, of course, I had 3 boys. I wanted to have a girl so bad, but that was not. God had other plans. I begged God, especially for the third one. I was like, 3 strikes, God. And I was like, okay, I just want healthy kids. And I, you know best, God, even when I don't. So my first one was born, and actually I was still competing with Team USA. And we, of course, tried every sport with him. He's our firstborn. The funniest thing about my oldest is he is not athletic at all. He can't stand sports.
Oh no.
Whose child are you really?
Right.
And so he's just very creative and loves history and really loves film and different things. So I was like, eventually we're like, all right, let's go into art, guitar, let's do, film. Let's try to get you where your strengths lie and what you enjoy. But it was funny because we tried every sport. So no, we did try baseball. No, lost cause. So then the next one, Drew, my 17-year-old, he is like super athletic out of the womb, like my main athlete, And he's 3 years old and I'm having him in the backyard and I got a tee and he's swinging and he looks like at 3 years old, he has this beautiful cut and mom, can we do another bucket? Can we do another bucket? I'm like, yes, And then he plays at, 4, 5, 6 years old, 7 years old. And he's like, I'm bored. I don't want to play anymore. I'm so bored. And, I'm like, oh my gosh. But then I was like, no, I'm not going to force my kid at 7 years old to go out every day if he doesn't love it. Let's keep trying. We did karate. We did swimming. We did all the sports, right? But here's what ended up happening, because I would watch him. We did soccer. And I was like, why is he not more aggressive? I played soccer and softball. I was very aggressive in soccer. So I was like, what's wrong? Well, he just didn't love it. Like, it wasn't his thing. And so I was like, he's athletic, but it doesn't matter if you don't love it. So at 12 years old, he came begging us, can I please play football? Can I please? Because we wanted to wait until he got a little older. Yes. Well, that was a sport he loved. And to this day, it's what he loves. He wants to play college ball. And then my youngest, we never did baseball. He's more ADD.
Try.
He's track and field. He's more like not hand-eye. He's more like, I don't know what's going on. Okay, I'll go run a race using track now. So we're good.
Well, Steph, her youngest is super fast. Like, he sets meet records.
Really?
Doesn't he?
He's doing hurdles. And it's crazy to me because he just sprouted up. He was not even very competitive, but it's literally brought this fire in him that I've never seen. And it's so cool. The passion that he has, the way he wants to beat everybody. He knows what his competition is running, but he's like, I stay in my lane. I focus on my, and yeah, he's working his way up as a sophomore. So we're excited.
That's awesome. At least they have the competitive edge, right?
Yes, for sure. And that's what that for him didn't happen until he found his sport. And so I'm just so passionate about people finding their passion, because it, you can want it for somebody all day long, but if they don't love it, it's yeah. kind of pointless.
Okay. So speaking of kids, we have three children. Our two daughters play softball. And it's the first time, it's the first year they've ever played softball. So we've been watching softball on TV, and I'm sure you've probably been commentating on some of the on the games that we've been watching. Can you please explain to me, because I don't understand this, Leah, the cheers. Every single college game I watch, it's almost like the commentators are interrupted by all these cheers going on in the dugout. And that never happened to me playing baseball, ever. So who constructs these? Do you practice them? Did you do this on the Olympic team? Can you please explain this to me?
So it is crazy, but cheers are definitely something about softball. It's special to our sport. It might annoy, like you said, people like you. But it really is something. It's funny how our sport, and I think baseball and softball are kind of similar, but softball moves at a little faster pace of just the energy that you're feeling, and like, you know, the enthusiasm. And so you get to college and they're like different types of cheers. I mean, you're still seeing them, but this idea is almost like you're kind of creating this like momentum and energy and trying to get things like going. Cause whenever you would hear like a quiet team, you almost kind of see a dead team in some ways. Right. And so that's part of it. When I got to the Olympic team, it turned to more like, hey, let's go. We got this. Probably more like baseball, maybe.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was Team USA. We had our different styles. So probably goes till about college, you know, but it is really specific to our sport.
It's true.
You still probably know your softball cheers because you were.
You want a single, just a little single. S-I-N-G-L-E, single. Baby, I could do the whole thing.
You practiced on the bus on the way to your games, didn't you?
We just did cheers all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that wasn't us.
It's fantastic.
That was not us in baseball.
Wait, did you go to the state? Exactly. We went to the state. You are welcome.
Maybe we should have cheered.
See, you should have cheered.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Leah. So for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts. So listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished. And Steph is not aware of any of these. Okay, so Leah, you're going to see her genuine reaction to this list of fun facts. Okay, so if I get any of these wrong, please let me know. And this is going to spur some great conversation. Okay, and you're one of the few people, Leah, when I was researching, I actually had to cut these down because you had so many accomplishments. It's just, it's ridiculous stuff. It is unbelievable what you're about to hear.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
In college, Leah went to the University of Arizona and played in not one, not two, but four national championship games.
I knew that.
And
you
won
know how
three.
I knew that? I watched all of them. I was a huge Arizona fan. Oh my gosh. Your softball team at that level was so elite. Like, I think that's where my passion came from. Just watching you guys play the game.
Can you share the story, Leah, of your freshman year when you actually had the game-winning hit in the national championship game?
It's one of the stories that I share so much because it really, to me, was a game changer. Literally and just in every other way, like in my career, I feel like it was like a launching pad because it wasn't only something that happened physically, but for me mentally. And it kind of like set my sights so much higher than what I probably even was thinking or dreaming about. We got to the national championship game. It was winner take all, which probably benefited us. UCLA, if it was best 2 out of 3, probably would have had the edge. But we ended up playing against Lisa Fernandez, who was a senior, kind of just world's best. I got to win 3 gold medals with her. She truly is, in my opinion, the best player ever. And so your first inning, our first girl gets on really fast. They throw it away. They make an error. Shortstop makes an error. Next hitter moves her over. And then I come up and I'm not really a threat. I'm not a home run threat. I'm not a power threat, right? And I don't have the big name that a lot of the hitters behind me had, but I battled and I was consistent and I ended up getting a base hit up the middle off of Lisa Fernandez. She had me 0-2. I fouled off a number of pitches and then I got a drop ball by my knees that I just hit a base hit up the middle. and our coach was sending our runner all the way. She actually comes sliding into home plate. It was back in the day before the obstruction rule, like you could block the plate, but the ball kind of just bobbled a little bit in the catcher's hand. So we score. Well, that was the very beginning of the game, but we ended up, our pitcher only gave up two hits. Nobody scored. We at least only gave up that one hit to me, and we won the game 1-0. And I was 18 years old and literally like, okay, I could die now. Like, life is good. I don't need anything else. Like, this is better than it. My friends at home are going to see me on TV. I'm 18 years old. Like, oh my gosh, this is everything I would have dreamt of. And then they said softball is going to be in the Olympics in 3 years. And I was like, okay, that's my goal. So it literally almost like it infused this new belief and goal and like higher, like I said, a higher mindset that I maybe didn't have prior to that.
Okay. I didn't know all of that. I didn't know that was the only hit of the game.
Yes. She pitched a one hitter.
Wow.
And that was your freshman year as an 18-year-old. Life changed.
Life changed.
Life changed from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's fascinating. I did not know this stuff. So she won 3 national championships in 4 seasons at Arizona. The 1 year that they lost to a UCLA team that then was later stripped of the title.
Oh.
So.
I don't remember this.
Leah, we can take this off the record if you want, but can you please share that story with Steph? What happened? Because the other team cheated or else Leah would have had 4 national championships. Right?
Yes, yes. Okay, so we were really good. And UCLA had been the dynasty up until that point. And these players were the best. I mean, it really became us against them. And we had heard in March, like, okay, UCLA just got, you know, season started a month and a half earlier. And we hear like UCLA just got this superstar pitcher from Australia. And so we're like, okay, like, you know, what does this look like? But it wasn't on TV. So we didn't really get to see her until we see them in conference play. And then at the World Series, of course. And by this time she is just a stud. Like she is so good. Her name is Tanya Harding, which is kind of funny.
Yes.
Tanya Harding like comes and, you know, try to change things up. And so we get to Oklahoma and we do, we fight a really good battle. We lose. I don't remember if it was like 4-2 or something like that. And they win. And here's the thing. Number one, I have to just add this in real quick because a lot of reporters were like, what do you, to our coach, what do you have to say? Like they have this pitcher, blah, blah, blah. And he just said, we lost on the field today. We had chances. We made some mistakes. They were the better team today. He did not. I love that about him because that was a life lesson. Number one, don't ever make excuses, no matter what, how good they might be. Number two, it came out afterwards that they had had 3 athletes that were on soccer scholarship. And so that, because, you know, you're like, how does one of the best teams in the entire country have an entire scholarship to bring this elite, elite athlete over? And so anyways, it came out that they had more scholarships than everybody else.
Yes.
And so that's why they just kind of vacated it. So pretty wild times. But at the end of the day, like, I don't look back and go, well, that was ours or anything like that. It was, you know, it was a lesson learned.
Wait, wait, wait. So do you get the national championship if they strip UCLA?
Nothing.
No. So they vacated it and just nobody.
Nobody
just
won that
empty.
Year.
Oh.
Isn't that awful?
Crazy. It's kind of crazy.
So I've never seen that before, Steph. This shocked me when I was researching it. UCLA literally needed extra scholarships to get some of these players. So they took them from the soccer team. Like, hey, you're not going to use these 3 scholarships. We'll use those and they'll get extra players for the softball team. And that's what happened. And they brought in this pitcher from Australia, who was, I believe, the player of the tournament, right?
She was MVP because she was the number 4 hitter and best pitcher. And on top of that, you guys, she was a 3-time Olympian for Australia and won medals in the Olympics for Australia. And come to find out, she didn't attend school. She just came to play. She was a true ringer.
Shocker.
What?
Shocker.
How good, girl, did it feel then when you beat her every Olympics that you were with her?
Well, here's the sad thing. She ended up beating us in the Olympics. And I was like, oh, no. I mean, it's just it was craziness. But they were Australia and USA. Like, we were always very, very, like, head-to-head with them. I mean, they for sure are one of the best programs in the entire world. So it was pretty funny. But in the end, we got the gold. So that's all that mattered.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time, you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. I have a question. Where were you when you got the phone call that they wanted you for the Olympic team.
Oh gosh, that's a whole nother crazy story. Things are so different now. You guys, we go back so long. Like, we didn't have cell phones. I don't even know if we had email at this point, maybe just getting email. So like, it wasn't like everybody had it, I don't think. So this is so crazy. We have a tryout. There's like 50 some of the people for 15 spots, right? Okay. 15 women, you know, everybody's there competing for the same 15 spots. And literally we end on, you know, whatever, let's say it's a Friday. And they said, all right, at some point, you know, between tonight at midnight and tomorrow at 6 a.m., it's going to be on this door in the hotel. So it wasn't a phone call. We were all there. And so some people were just roaming the halls all night. Not me. Me and my teammate, she was also a college athlete. We both ended up making it, but we were like under our covers in our room. We were too scared. And literally it was like the stress. Everybody handles it differently, right? The waiting. The waiting's the hardest. And this is the thing. I got a knock on the door probably at like 5 a.m. It was two of my Arizona college teammates who were going after that same dream, that same goal. Neither of them made it, but they came to my door to congratulate me and my other teammate, my roommate, that telling us that we both made it. And so it was this like sadness and happiness at the same time. So many dreams were crushed, but then a few dreams were realized. And I really couldn't celebrate. I called my mom and dad immediately. And what's crazy is it was like, once they got excited, then I could be excited. But while my teammates that didn't make it were sitting there, I couldn't be excited. I'm getting chills as I'm saying this, because it was so selfless. And yet they were truly, genuinely happy for me in that moment. So those people are so special to me.
I think it just goes back to what it really means to be a teammate. You're not the center of attention. You're a collected soul. You're a collected body. And that just proves it right there.
Right. Next fun fact. In 2004, as you can see behind her, Leah was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. The August 30th issue had the Olympic softball team on the cover with the title, The Real Dream Team. Okay, so when that came out, Leah, did you just immediately run to Barnes & Noble,
buy every copy?
Because I would be probably sending those out as like my Christmas card for that year. What was your reaction like when you saw yourself front and center on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Oh, it was really surreal. It was something that you like, we had heard they might, then we heard they were going to, and we just couldn't wait. And as soon as people were getting it in their hands, and I remember getting phone calls and people letting us know. So yes, it was like, get as many as you possibly can, like go get them. So it really was amazing. Something that, and then it was like, okay, let's try to pass them around and people sign them and let's get everybody to sign them. And yeah, it was seriously so cool.
All right, let's talk about that 2004 team.
Okay,
Steph, this was one of the most dominant teams ever, to the point where if I were Leah, I would probably be feeling sorry for the other team because they were literally that dominant. Okay, so here's a few fun facts about that team. So they set records for that 2004 team. They had the most wins with 9. They won 9 straight games during that Olympics. Their team batting average for the tournament, batting average, .343. For comparison purposes, the USA team in Tokyo 2 years ago that won the silver medal, the team batting average was .216.
Man.
Their batting average, .343. Okay? This is going to blow your mind. In 9 games, their team scored 51 runs. In 9 games, they gave up 1 run. In 9 games. So their team pitched 8 shutouts. And then in the gold medal game, they won 5-1. That was the only run they gave up the entire tournament. So, Leah, what was that like? Did they treat you like rock stars?
Yes.
Back in 04 with how dominant your team was?
Oh, it's funny because in the Olympics prior, the 2000 Olympics, when we actually lost 3 games and went through that struggle, the talk was all about, we had a 110-game win streak heading to the Olympics. So we were on all the news stations, Today's Show. That was all the talk. And then all of a sudden we dropped 3 games. And what happened was the mound was pitching rubber was only 40 feet from home plate. And they moved it back 3 feet for the 2004 Olympics. So that is a big difference when you're facing the best pitchers in the entire world. But also what happened was we had Coach Candrea from Arizona then become our coach. I will tell you, he trained us and prepared us and was like, okay, the world has caught up. We need to take it to another level. And this was his comment to us heading into the games. We are not going into just win. We are going to dominate. And so we ended up, you know, gold medal game. I had been struggling, but I come up and I get a hit, and then Crystal Bustos just launches a home run. And I remember running the bases like, this is going to be fun. And, you know, I come across it, and we did give up the one run, I think in the fifth inning. And I'll never forget, after the Olympics were over and we're celebrating, we win, Lisa Fernandez said, that's all right. It's just something to improve upon in next Olympics, because we gave up one run. And it was seriously phenomenal. I was playing first base in that Olympics, but I will tell you, our preparation was everything that we ended up then taking everything to another level. I mean, we had a men's pitcher who pitched with us, who could locate and spin the ball like most female pitchers can't do. So seeing that every day on a tour, we played harder teams on our entire tour. I mean, they just prepared us that much better in that last Olympics I competed in.
All right, final fun fact. Among Leah's many accomplishments, she's a motivational speaker, and she's the host of her own podcast titled The Gold Standard Podcast, and just recorded her 100th episode. So well done. Congratulations on that. That is a big deal. So can you tell listeners more about your podcast?
Yeah, so I have a podcast, The Gold Standard Podcast, and it started out with me interviewing pro Olympic elite athletes and hearing their stories. And I really broke it down to the acronym GOLD, stands for goal setting, overcoming obstacles, leadership, and dedication and drive. Mm-hmm. And so these principles that I really believe helped me not only on the softball field, but beyond. And so I was talking to these athletes, what does that stuff mean to you? What is the gold standard to you? How did you reach it? And I talked to athletes not only that were the best in their sport or what they did, a lot of my softball Olympic teammates came on the podcast, but I would talk to them afterwards. How have you then taken those principles and applied them to everything else? Some in real estate, some in security, some different things, and they've seen success no matter what they've done. And then after interviewing a bunch of athletes, and I believe we had put out about 18 episodes, I started adding in some little 10-minute episodes that I just shared principles and stories of things that I really think impacted me and values that we need if we're going to be the very best at what we do. Because I really believe it's about how we do things, not just what we do. And so just excellence and striving for that and doing things the right way.
Final question here. So in regards to professional athletes, what's it like when it's over? Because a lot of times their identity is wrapped in the sports. That's been their entire experience, their whole life. So what's it like, Leah, when it's over?
That is what's so hard for a lot of people. So a lot of people really go into this, what next? Who am I? A lot of people find their identity in it, a lot of depression. Olympic athletes, it's every 4 years. So then there's like almost this depression. But pro athletes, I mean, I talked to an MLB guy recently, and he was trying to figure out what the next step was as he was, you know, retiring. And he was always a role player and kind of switching a lot of teams. But he's all, I don't know what I want to do yet, but I know I don't want to suck at it. It's like you've reached this pinnacle and you're the best. But now, because you stayed in it so long, you're kind of starting at square one when all these other people in the real world have had 10 years on you. Right. And so it's this tricky balance of what am I going to do and still have this like standard of excellence and be great at it, but I still got to have time to get the experience level. So it is hard for a lot of people to find out what that next step is. For me, I was very fortunate. My faith played a big role in like, I finished my career. I have 3 gold medals. I knew I wanted to have more kids. So I pretty quickly after winning my last gold medal had 2 more, you know, children. And so I was really focused on being a mom. But the coolest part was I started having a lot of opportunities and was speaking just really short and quick things, going for a weekend and doing a clinic, you know, doing a little bit of commentating or that show that you mentioned, More Than Conquerors. We did that for about 4 or 5 years, and we would feature pro athletes and their faith on this television show. And so for me, it kind of just morphed into like these different opportunities that came while I was raising my kiddos, which really was my number one focus as a mom. But I was like, you know what? I got to the pinnacle because my parents were there and poured into me. I want that for my kids.
Well, listeners, for more information about Leah, you can go to her social media accounts, Twitter and Instagram, at Leah20USA. Also, check out her podcast, The Gold Standard Podcast, and you can get all of her information on her website at leahamico.com, and we will put all the links in our show notes here so you can click right on it and go to these accounts. Well, Leah, thank you so much, one, for saying yes to us, but two, just for being such a great role model for young women and ladies and everything you've gone through. God bless you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Kevin and Steph, thank you so much for having me on and just your show. I'm really a big believer that everybody has a story to share. And so thank you for being those people that are leading in that area.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.